It's Sunday night, and that means it's time for some wrestling nostalgia. Tonight, we're going back to WrestleMania 2000 to discuss the main event. It gets started right after this. Hey, so you guys love podcasts. You're listening to one right now. I've got a really good one for you. It's actually hilarious. It's called Shoot from the Hip. There are three co-hosts. It's Matt, Lancer, and Brian. They talk about ridiculous things, like why knees aren't just called leg knuckles, some conspiracy theories, dealing with embarrassment, back to school. There are so many different topics that really are just crazy, but are really entertaining. And actually, they have 5 stars right now on Apple Podcasts. So I would really recommend that you check them out. They're absurd but hilarious topics. And new episodes drop every single week at sfthpodcast.com. And you can kind of tell, this is going to be one of those shows that shoots quickly up the rankings. So get on board now. Check out Shoot from the Hip podcast. You can find them seriously anywhere, right? Like, just go to iHeartRadio, Google Music, Stitcher, SoundCloud. They're also on all the social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and their website, which is sfthpodcast.com. And on Twitter, you can check them out at hipshotpodcast.com. Also on YouTube at Shoot from the Hip Podcast. So check them out today, guys. I really think that you'll enjoy the show and get a kick out of it. I listened to one of their shows just before this recording of my podcast, and I'm telling you right now, I was laughing out loud. Some of the stuff that they talk about is, it's so off the wall, but it's so well done and genuinely funny. So check out Shoot from the Hip Podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast. Your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast. Thank you for joining me on this Sunday, September 8th, 2019. And yes, we are here for some wrestling nostalgia, but I know that it is also the very first day for many of you NFL fans. As I'm recording this, it's a sad day for the Giants, and continues to be after their just putrid season last season, and it may just continue to get worse. So I'm sure that many of you are crying tears of sadness for Giants, Giants fans all over the world, but hey, there's still 17 weeks to go, 16 weeks to go. There's a lot of time to go. But it's, you always want to get that first win, right? You always want to get that first win for your team. It just feels like you're never going to win a game, particularly when it's a division rival. So it stings a little bit today as a Giants fan, but that's not what we're here for. We are here to talk WWE. We're here to talk about that lovely sports simulation that we like to watch called professional wrestling. And we're going to get to a very, very interesting topic today for the wrestling nostalgia with the main event of WrestleMania 2000, a WrestleMania that did not feature Stone Cold Steve Austin in 2000, and I'll get to the reasons behind that and also get through the rest of the card as well and give you some quick thoughts on what I remember from that pay-per-view and obviously the main event, which is what we're here to discuss today. But first, thank you for joining me. This is the WWE Podcast. You guys can catch me anywhere podcasts are available and on WWEpodcast.com. And if you want the ads, plugs, and all that stuff removed, you just go to patreon.com/WWEpodcast and you'll get an ad-free experience. And soon, video will be there exclusively on Patreon, so check that out. I'll be adjusting things there and adding a streaming video feed to the Patreon site only. So that will be coming down the line very soon. Video is something that I have been wanting to add for quite some time. I think it's overdue. It's just been more of a logistics thing and making sure that it's going to work for me, work for you, and so that's going to be very, very soon. So keep that in mind. Also, if you want to support the show, just head on over to the Support the Show tab on WWEpodcast.com. And hey, if you click on the Amazon banner and you like to do shopping on Amazon, all you have to do is start there in the Amazon banner. Click on it and off you go right to Amazon.com. It just kicks back a little bit of whatever you buy to the show. There's no extra fees or anything like that. It just buy what you normally buy. It just credits the show for sending you there. That's all it does. So I'd appreciate that. Many of you have done that, and it is much appreciated. I do notice, and I want to thank you for it. Also, just to keep you guys updated as far as the schedule is concerned, back to regularly scheduled programming. And so that means this week is what you normally get every week. You're going to get your WWE Nostalgia right here. You're going to get your Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday shows with SmackDown Review, Raw Review, and of course the guest coming in on Thursday. And you'll get your NXT podcast also being released here on the show. So you're going to be getting five shows this week, and when AEW starts, six shows a week will be posted here for your listening pleasure. So keep that in mind as we head on down further into the fall season. A very crazy fall coming your way for just so many reasons. If you're a wrestling fan, like I said, this is going to be a just bonkers September, October, November, December, all the way to WrestleMania time. It's going to be crazy. And don't forget, Stone Cold Steve Austin will be on Raw tomorrow night. And again, I don't know what to expect from it. It's going to be live from Madison Square Garden. He's a moderator, right? Between Braun Strowman and Seth Rollins for their contract signing for Clash of Champions, for the Universal Championship. So I would assume that you're going to see some kind of shenanigans go down. That's why Stone Cold's there. If not, you would just have anybody be there, or you could just, sign it backstage, or have it, you could e-sign it. I don't know why it needs to be this big production in 2019, but it's all about the presentation, and I understand that. But when you think about the logistics of it, do they really need to do this publicly? If that's the case, why don't they do this for every championship match, right? It's just something that is a tradition of WWE to just have these contract signings that end in somebody through a table. I would like to see a contract signing not go that road for once, but with Stone Cold Steve Austin involved, hell yeah, I'm interested. I hope somebody gets a stunner. I don't think it'll be Braun. I don't think it'll be Seth. It probably will be maybe the OC who come out and interfere, and you give Gallows and Anderson a stunner each, and AJ escapes. I would say that's probably the road we take. I had a potential crazy idea of where this could go with Stone Cold being there on Raw in Madison Square Garden, and that would be, and again, think about this too. The positioning of where this contract signing is on the show is going to tell you everything you need to know. If it's at the very beginning of the show, unlikely that it's going to be anything more than a straightforward contract signing, maybe a couple stunners and beer on, Gallows and Anderson, for example. But if it's positioned as the final segment of the show, look out, because I think this could be the start of a huge angle, and not for a huge angle of Austin returning to the ring, but a huge angle for Bray Wyatt specifically, who could potentially interfere, attack Seth. Austin gets involved, and maybe he ends up flat on his back with a mandible claw by the Fiend. Again, this is not what I'm implying of it's going to be Stone Cold versus the Fiend at any time soon, but it's okay for Austin to take a bump like that because it's not a bump. It's just not. It's the safest thing you could possibly do for legends, and I would think that would be awesome to see. As much as I want to see Austin deliver stunners until infinity, I still think that having Bray Wyatt come out a bigger star than coming in, and this is also a huge opportunity to have Bray Wyatt get more legitimate heel heat, because he hasn't gotten it yet. He's attacked Mick Foley, Kurt Angle. He's attacked Jerry the King Lawler, and he has gotten no heat, no boos, to put it very plainly. And that's not what WWE is clearly looking for, but the Fiend is so cool, and the mask is so good, and his character has been portrayed so well and booked very so well that the fans are just on board with how cool and special this character feels right now. And to have him attack Austin the biggest babyface in the history of wrestling in any era ever could get some legitimate heel heat. It could. And you know what? At the expense of Stone Cold being on his back, I'm fine with it. As long as we see a couple of stunners and some beer, and maybe the lights start doing their thing, and you hear pew, and the lights go down, and all those weird, cool sound effects, look out. I am just, it's a huge opportunity. Again, you don't need to take the road of Austin versus Wyatt, or The Fiend. It's not where you're going. You're going to get Wyatt over more as a heel. And I think that's where they could really, really excel this character even further. So that's just a quick thought there. As far as The Undertaker being on SmackDown Live, I don't know what to expect from that either. I would assume this could be the same scenario here, the same potential scenario of, again, it's taking place from Madison Square Garden. We got back-to-back shows. The Fiend could show up and not attack Undertaker, but stand and stare at him, right? You could have him on stage, appear after his music goes off, giving seeds and planting seeds for a match that I think is very likely coming up in the next few months, possibly all the way until WrestleMania, although the rumors have been running rampant that The Undertaker wants to work with Drew McIntyre at WrestleMania, but boy, have they got a lot of repair to do on the McIntyre character that has been damaged and damaged and damaged again and again and again, that he just can't win the big match but can talk a big game. They could stretch this out to WrestleMania, but look out for clues, or maybe a very, very blatant clue of Bray Wyatt and Undertaker down the line. Again, I believe it's Austin or Undertaker that you will see Bray Wyatt interfere and possibly attack one of them, or both. My God, both. Just think about that for a moment. Good grief. All right. So that's just my thoughts preliminarily on Raw and SmackDown Live, which are proving to be huge shows with just the returns of those two iconic figures of professional wrestling for the next couple of nights. It's going to be awesome. And so also, there have been reports of WWE advertising Seth Rollins versus The Fiend for upcoming live events. It says, according to a story, local advertising for WWE's upcoming live events is promoting a very interesting main event. Seth Rollins and The Fiend. This could mean nothing. It could mean nothing. WWE is simply wanting to sell as many tickets to live events as possible. It's very possible that this is the truth, right? I mean, sometimes WWE does themselves a disservice by advertising future plans in current, in the present. I mean, I understand they're trying to sell tickets, but you're doing it potentially at the expense of giving away storylines and surprises and being predictable. But we will see. Okay, well, let's set the table here and let's get to WrestleMania 2000. I'm going to give you guys the card. Of course, I've got audio clips coming up for you. And so let's just set things up here. WrestleMania 2000. It was the 16th annual WrestleMania. This was not known as WrestleMania 16. This was known as WrestleMania 2000 because it took place on April 2nd, 2000 in Anaheim, California. It was at the Arrowhead Pond of Anaheim, and in attendance, the number of people were 19,776. So slightly bigger than their average Monday Night Raw or SmackDown, but still, this was just before they began the stadium type venues that would follow. I mean, remember WrestleMania 17, which was, I mean, look at the reviews for WrestleMania 17. It was reviewed as one of the best WrestleManias of all time and standing up to this day. So, but we're talking about 16 here. And so the main event featured Triple H with Stephanie McMahon versus The Rock with Mr. McMahon, Mick Foley with Linda McMahon, and Big Show with Shane McMahon. So this was a match that had a McMahon in every corner. And if you thought that the McMahons had to involve themselves in every storyline, in the main storylines, here's your Exhibit A, right? Every single member of the McMahon family was in this match. And it was billed as nobody has any alliances. It's a family feud. that I think overshadowed what the actual match should have been focused on. And again, we'll get to some audio clips, but this was a match that was kind of weird because I can't remember up until this point. Again, I was watching live in real time since WrestleMania, at the end of WrestleMania 13, right? With the infamous Bret Hart and Stone Cold Steve Austin match, submission match, that ended in a double turn magnificently between Bret Hart and Austin, from flipping to face to babyface to heel and heel to babyface. And it was done masterfully, and that is going to be a match that eventually I will get to on this show too. So, yes, I will. And so, this was the first time that a main event was a fatal four-way. And I was not a fan of it. I think that WWE was trying to overcompensate, possibly for the loss of Stone Cold Steve Austin, at the time their biggest draw. Think about what time frame we're in here. We are when Stone Cold was white hot. And the reason he's not here, as you all probably know or may not know, is because he was involved in a storyline at Survivor Series a few months back, that he was run down by an assailant backstage prior to his match at Survivor Series, and it was deemed to be Rikishi, and Triple H was his accomplice. But this put Austin out of action I think he came back in September, so nearly a year Austin was out of action. And it was hard as a WWE fan to not have Austin on such a major pay-per-view. It was a glaring hole for WWE. And it was, again, you have your biggest money draw not on the card, and they clearly tried to overcompensate here, not just by making it a fatal four-way, but putting a McMahon in every corner, which they believe instantly adds interest to the match, and also bringing back Mick Foley. Now, if you remember, Mick Foley was retired by Triple H in a Hell in a Cell match just a couple of months before. And having Linda McMahon bring back Mick Foley for one night only was something that, number one, I didn't agree with. And I know that they're trying to overcompensate and try to throw everything they can at this match to make, and this pay-per-view, to make the loss of Austin, soften it, if you will, make it not feel as big of a blow as it really was. I know it's not a one-man show, but as hot as Austin was, you cannot overstate enough how important he was to the company at this time. So here's just a little bit of audio from the Raw before WrestleMania 2000, with Triple H defending his WWF Championship, and Linda McMahon making the announcement to bring back Mick Foley.
I don't have any idea. That's the matriarch of this family.
Congratulations, Triple H, on your WrestleMania victory. And you're right, there will be no return triple threat match. But doesn't that kind of beg the question as to what the main event at WrestleMania is going to be?
Right, absolute what?
Clearly, you should be there. Big Show, The Rock.
What?
But I think a special ingredient needs to be added.
Wait a minute.
Some deserving individual whose dream should come true.
What? No!
If for one night only. Therefore, Triple H, this McMahon tonight is making the final decision. And now, the main event at WrestleMania will be a fatal four-way elimination match.
What? Four-way?
In which you, Triple H, will defend the World Wrestling Federation Championship against Big Show, against The Rock, and against this man, Mick Foley.
Oh, my God.
And so that's how Mick Foley was introduced back into the main event. And yeah, he was retired by Triple H a couple of months before. And so while it was exciting, and I remember at this time excited to see Mick Foley back after being retired and everything that went with that. You know, I guess as a 34-year-old fan now, I look back and go, well, why have the retirement match? It just undermines all the stipulations. WWE is just super guilty of this. That's just the fabric of what they do, is go back and find loopholes and find ways. I'll point out another example, right? And this is not necessarily a bad thing, because listen to the audience. The audience went crazy. I remember going crazy at this time. I was 15 years old. I was going nuts. I was hoping she would say Stone Cold Steve Austin, but through all the dirt sheets at the time, which were in very sparing numbers. Again, we didn't have podcasts back in 2000. We didn't have the social media insanity. It was all through like dirt sheets on the internet, right? All those crazy links of, I remember the links that you would get in stories of like things that, like, they were just bizarre. They try to get you to click on the link to go to their site. I remember all that, but that was the only source we had. So I was hoping it would be awesome, but it was Mick Foley, and I remember still, being really happy about it. But it just undermines the credibility of any storylines. But back to my other example was when Austin defeated The Undertaker at Fully Loaded in 1999 at the first Blood match in Buffalo, New York. I remember, I wasn't there, but I remember that Austin, he had won. He finally ousted Vince McMahon and said he'd never see him again. That was part of the stipulation, that Vince McMahon had to go away forever. And then apparently there was a stipulation in the contract that said, well, if Vince can come back, but the only one that can reinstate him is Austin. Well, that'd be a nice little tidbit to know. But it was conveniently added when Vince McMahon needed to be brought back into the storyline. But there's just things like that, and I know it's pro wrestling. I don't think it's a bad thing from the perspective of not, if you don't think about the congruity of a story, and you don't put too much stock into the outcomes of matches and the stipulations that are beholden to them, then I think it's a little more enjoyable. I'm not saying to be a mindless fan and turn your brain completely off, but sometimes you have to in order to enjoy the moment. But Mick Foley coming back was a huge deal. And you always knew when Linda McMahon came out that she meant effing business. You always knew it was for a major announcement. She was the one to announce Austin coming back to Backlash that following month, when Austin was going to be returning, but it was in a very limited capacity. He came out at Backlash with a chair and even seemed really slow at that time, right? If you go back and watch Backlash 2000, when Austin's music hit, first of all, the audience like lost their minds. Secondly, Austin came out with a chair, and even with a chair, he was kind of slow at swinging it. When he hit Triple H in the head with it and he tried to get up, he was slow to get up, man. I mean, he was not in great physical shape to be there. Couldn't even deliver a Stone Cold Stunner, which was a huge disappointment. I remember that. But anyway, I'm getting way off track. We're getting back to WrestleMania 2000. But this is just where my mind goes back when I was 15, 16 years old. So let me just go down the card. I'm going to get to that specific main event, which lasted, by the way, 36 minutes. The 36 minutes of a main event. That's insanity. But with only 9 matches on the card and you're throwing 4 top talents in there, I guess it's somewhat justified. Okay, so the first match on the card, Big Boss Man and Bull Buchanan defeated The Godfather and D'Lo Brown with Ice-T. Yes, with Ice-T, who sang Pimpin' Ain't Easy at the top of the show. I'm not kidding. So Big Boss Man and Bull Buchanan won. The second match was Hardcore Holly defeating Crash Holly in a hardcore battle royal for the WWF Hardcore Championship. This lasted 15 minutes. Yeah, I remember this match a little bit. I remember Hardcore Crash Holly kind of being the 2019 version of R-Truth. They are very similar in that they're not supposed to be taken too seriously. They're good for comedy, but not a whole lot beyond that. And that's exactly what is happening now, 10 years later, 20 years later. Okay, then we got TNA, Test and Albert, with Trish Stratus defeating Head Cheese, Al Snow and Steve Blackman. My God, with Chester McCheeserton? Oh, my God. I don't even remember what that was. I'd have to go back and look. I'm scared. So that match lasted 7 minutes. Edge and Christian defeated the Dudley Boys and the Hardy Boys in a triangle ladder match for the WWF Tag Team Championship. This lasted 22 minutes, and this was one of the more memorable matches. Yes, they had a very good match at WrestleMania 17, of course, but this one put them all on the map, on a big stage. Edge and Christian go over. They all busted their ass. This is a match worth watching. This is fourth on the card. Number five, boy, talk about a bring-you-down moment. Terry Runnels defeated the Cat. Fabulous Moolah was accompanying Terry Runnels, and Mae Young accompanied the Cat. This also had Val Venus as the special guest referee. This match, thankfully, only lasted 2 minutes and 26 seconds. I would encourage you to take a look at this match. Not for the normal reasons I tell you, but for the reasons of just to see how far female wrestling has come since this time. Just take a look. It's straight embarrassing. It's embarrassing. I know that this, and you know what? I'm not going to blame Terry Runnels or the Cat. This is just how WWE presented women 20 years ago. Think about that. Just go back and look. That's all I have to say about that. China and Too Cool defeated the Radicals in a 6-person intergender tag team match. Not a mixed tag, intergender, meaning the men can wrestle the women can wrestle the men. And this one only went 9 minutes and 37 seconds. So, quite a stark change. Although, even in mixed tags, today you have the women who can hit the men, but the men can't hit the women. It should actually result in an instant disqualification because of the fact that, hey, a mixed tag means mixed tag. Men compete with men, women compete with women. End of story. Not women can hit the men because they're women. And men can't retaliate because of social norms or whatever nonsense is out there today. But anyway. Then we had Chris Benoit defeat Chris Jericho and Kurt Angle for the Intercontinental title. And Chris Jericho defeat Chris Benoit and Kurt Angle for the European title. Don't forget, the first fall here was for the Intercontinental Championship. The second fall was for the European title. So Chris Benoit became a double... I'm sorry, Chris Benoit became Intercontinental Champion. Chris Jericho became European Champion. This minute lasted 13 minutes. And then the semi-main event was Kane and Rikishi with Paul Bearer defeating DX, which was Road Dogg and X-Pac, who was with Torii, in a tag team match that surprisingly only lasted 4 minutes and 14 seconds. So I remember, and I believe this was also around the time when Kane was in a relationship with Torii. She ended up double-crossing him, and he ended up giving her a tombstone. I believe that was on SmackDown. It was in 2000. I don't know if it was before or after this match, but go listen. Those of you that think, oh my, he's complaining about men not being able to hit women in WWE. Oh my God, what a sexist pig. All the, really, why don't you just do me a favor and go back, just YouTube it, Kane tombstones Torii. Just YouTube it. Put it in your little search bar. Go listen to the reaction. Just take a listen to that reaction because it is monstrous. Monstrous. So do you think people were just worse? They were just bad people 19 years ago? People just bad people 19 years ago. Or maybe people were just as educated in common sense as they are now, and they were able to say, hey, this is entertainment. They're telling a good story. This woman deserves it after everything she's done to Kane. I'm not going to go out and tombstone my wife or my girlfriend if I get mad at her. This is just a hilarious and justified way to enjoy entertainment. Maybe they just use that logic. But just go YouTube that. I really encourage you to that, too. All right, let's get to the main event of Triple H, The Rock, Mick Foley, and Big Show with a McMahon in every corner. All right, so just a little bit of a setup to this match. I'm gonna dictate a little bit to you here, just so I can also refresh my memory. I did watch the match prior to this, but I didn't read the setup, if you will. So it was an elimination match, but don't forget, at the Royal Rumble about two months before, The Rock won the Royal Rumble to become the number one contender to the WWF Championship by eliminating the Big Show, which, don't forget, that too was also just lambasted in controversy with The Rock eliminating Big Show because technically The Rock's feet did hit first. If you take a look at that video, and the Big Show proved it on Raw, Rock's feet did touch first. But that's neither here nor there. And so, let's see. After that, we had Cactus Jack being defeated by Triple H in a street fight. We all remember that infamous street fight at the Royal Rumble. The preceding month at No Way Out, the Big Show defeated The Rock to gain entry into the WWF Championship match at WrestleMania. And Triple H defeated Foley at Hell in a Cell to retain the WWF Championship. And this was also where Foley put his career on the line. So that's kind of how the whole thing got set up. Again, no Austin. But again, this match was not bad. And it was also a match that was, I think, as good as they probably could have done with no Austin. And did the McMahons need to get themselves involved? No, but they did. And it was actually a whole big setup with Vince McMahon turning on The Rock to join Shane, and everybody embraces, and it was one big setup by the McMahons. And I remember being super pissed. However, if you remember too, this was, I believe, the first time in which The Rock got physical with Stephanie McMahon. So I'm going to play you a little bit of that because it's one of my favorite parts of the match, and then it will come right back to comment. So that was The Rock after getting screwed by Vince McMahon, who came in and attempted to rescue The Rock with a steel chair, and Vince turned heel, obviously, again there, and the whole McMahon family was in on the coup, and so Shane and Stephanie and Vince all united, and even though that they beat each other up and hit each other with chairs, it was all a setup to have their opponents buy into the fact that they had a problem with each other, and they didn't, and they all united. And the order of elimination, by the way, was Mick Foley, then Big Show, Big Show, Mick Foley, and then The Rock, with Triple H retaining the WWF Championship, and to the fans' dismay. I mean, so The Rock, while they did have a feel-good moment of The Rock coming in and rock-bottoming every single member of the McMahon family outside of Linda, it still felt like a big hole was missing with Stone Cold Steve Austin out of the game here. But one thing I do want to talk about too Well, really, a question I want to ask is, why is there a McMahon in every corner? Why? I'm not quite understanding that. Like, I understand that they were having a family feud, but what interest did they have personally outside of Stephanie McMahon being there because she is the wife of Triple H? Why was Vince McMahon with The Rock? I mean, yeah, you could say, well, the storyline said that, you know, Vince McMahon didn't like his son, and The Rock wanted to see, he wanted to see The Rock defeat Triple H. I mean, so like, why? But Triple H wasn't the champion. It was Big Show wasn't champion. Triple H was, and Shane was siding with the Big Show. And everybody didn't like everybody, but what vested interest did they have? I mean, it's just so self-fulfilling to have all the McMahons out there. To get themselves over as the biggest heels rather than the performers. And let them do their thing. And having the overshadowing dark cloud sitting outside the ring and having the focus being taken off of the performers in the ring. But, I mean, that's my only concern looking back is, why were they there? Taking away from the main event of WrestleMania. It's just, it's perplexing to me. And yes, it was cool to see the rock bottom Stephanie. Loved it. I remember popping for that like crazy. I remember that. And Linda McMahon out there. Furthermore, Linda McMahon, who I love Linda. It's always cool seeing her because you know something huge is about to happen. But when you look at this, it's like, why was she ringside just terribly acting? I mean, just awful, awful acting of cheering on Mick Foley ringside. What's her vested interest in Mick winning this? Just to stick it to their family members that their choice won? Shouldn't the championship be the focus? Not the McMahons quarreling with each other? I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking this, but they try to throw everything but the kitchen sink at this main event again to make up for the loss of Austin. And I give the pay-per-view overall a 5 or 6 out of 10. It wasn't a very, very memorable pay-per-view outside of the main event, which is the only thing I really remember. I mean, I gave you guys the list of the rest of the matches, but it wasn't a pay-per-view that I'd go back and purposefully watch from start to finish. I just wouldn't. It's not the worst pay-per-view you'll ever see, but it wasn't one of the most compelling, especially during the Attitude Era. I mean, you want compelling, just flip a switch to WrestleMania 17 and you will see one of the best pay-per-views of all time at that time. And really, stands to this day. All right, so I'm going to get to some current news that's very interesting that I'm going to get to, including a potential new draft coming up for the Fox debut of SmackDown Live that starts in October. But I did want to touch on one thing here, and that's this place I used for all my betting. It's MyBookie, right? So here's a quick question. If you found $100 on the street, would you pick it up or keep walking? Kind of a silly question, but of course, you take the money, right? So why do you keep picking winners and not betting on them? This is why I go to MyBookie. It's fast, it's easy, and when they pay, you is when you win. Let's face it. When you're betting, it's just as important as who you're betting on. I wouldn't be telling you guys to bet with them if they weren't the best. Seriously, I wouldn't. I bet with them today for fantasy football on top of my fantasy league that I am doing poorly in, but luckily my opponent is doing even more poorly. So it's a lucky day for me so far. Again, we still have Monday Night Football to get through. But again, I wouldn't be telling you guys to bet with MyBookie if they weren't the best. So do the smart thing. If you're going to bet during this football season, bet with MyBookie. And I bet you didn't know that you could bet on games after kickoff. That's right. If by the second half it looks like your bet is going to lose, you can always just take the other side. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings. And no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of the year. So all you have to do is you just join now and MyBookie will double your first deposit. So how do you do that? Well, when you sign up, you just give the promo code. There's a little feel for a promo code. Simple. 3 letters. WWE to activate that offer. The promo code is WWE and it'll double your first deposit. Visit MyBookie.ag That's mybookie.ag today. It's simple, guys. You play, you win, and you get paid. Okay, so there is a rumor floating around, and I think it's a pretty substantial and relevant and probably accurate rumor of a new draft coming to WWE, and that will be effective October when SmackDown moves to Fox, and we essentially have a new season of wrestling starting. And so why this is significant is because it's going to tell you a lot about where WWE really feels that their true ratings draws are. Because WWE wants to make sure that their choices and their ratings are adequate for the contract that they have with Fox. They want to succeed with Fox. It is the biggest sports network of all time. You want to make sure that you don't embarrass yourself with Fox. So it's going to tell you a lot about where WWE really lies here. They can do all the storylines they want. They can tell you this, tell you that. What's really going to matter is who they draft on SmackDown Live. The first show will probably be a bit of a crossover. It'll be all hands on deck, and you'll have guys that are on Raw that shouldn't be there and this and that. And the wildcard rule will finally officially be dissolved, which was one of the worst rules implemented in the history of wrestling ever. Because not only was it not enforced, it's just a bad idea to begin with because that's not a true brand split. I could go on, but I won't. So this will tell you outside of the first episode, because it's going to be just a mishmash of who can be there to draw big ratings, and legends will be there, I'm sure. Even The Rock may show up. I wouldn't be surprised if The Rock shows up. I would think he's a fairly solid potential there, and probably a realistic one as well to show up in the first debut episode on Fox. So it's who do they draft? My estimation is that they probably and most likely will draft Brock Lesnar to SmackDown Live. He's a ratings draw. Regardless of what wrestling fans think of him in 2019, and he's overstayed his welcome, he takes the title hostage, all that stuff that we've heard over and over and over, he's a ratings draw. He is one of the most recognized faces and names in sports, combat sports, wrestling, amateur wrestling, across so many genres, one of the most recognized names in sports entertainment, period. They need him on SmackDown Live. He will be drafted to SmackDown Live. You can almost bet the farm on it. So he will be a name that you will most likely see transition over. And, you know, rightfully so. It'd be kind of cool to see him on SmackDown Live. I think that would freshen things up by simply changing a color from red to blue and changing the night that he's on. It just would feel fresh. It would feel as if WWE is taking this seriously by drafting their biggest star on the roster. Yes, he's their biggest star on the roster. He may not be their most consistent star on the roster. He may not be the most beloved star on the roster. That doesn't matter. He's making the most on the roster for being there at a fraction of the time because he's earned it. He's earned it. You know, like, I mean, I have been critical at times of Brock not being there and the title being hostage, and we forgot about the Universal Championship, all that. But the fact of the matter is, Brock Lesnar is the biggest star in WWE and is arguably one of the biggest they've ever had ever. More importantly, beyond the biggest star being there, he could go after a different championship. Maybe be the first one to dethrone Kofi Kingston. I would love it. I would love it. So if Randy Orton fails, and he probably will at Clash of Champions, because he's been getting too much offense on Kofi and leave him laying week after week after week. That tells me that Kofi Kingston has a victory in his shoes coming, and revenge in his eyes, and retribution likely going to be fulfilled at Clash of Champions, and that's all fine and well. So Kofi lives to see another day as champion. As you know, I am not a fan of Kofi Kingston as WWE champion. If you want to listen to exactly why and a very, very passionate explanation, just listen to my previous episodes. But to have Brock Lesnar go after go after Kofi, I think would be a hell of a way to have Kofi on the run. Probably get a lot of people supporting Kofi, not me as one of them. I would love to see Brock Lesnar dethrone Kofi Kingston, and I think that's where they're headed. Having Brock Lesnar carry the WWE Championship and be in a feud that feels fresh on a show that's fresh, I think could do a lot of favors for Brock in the eyes of fans is kind of hitting the reset button. He's got a new belt. He's got a new show. He's got a new home on a different brand with a different opponent. There's a lot that can be benefited from that, as well as Kofi Kingston being the beneficiary of that feud, feuding with the biggest name he's ever had a program with in Brock Lesnar, the biggest threat he's ever had of Brock Lesnar. So I think the dream comes crashing down with Brock Lesnar being moved to SmackDown Live and immediately getting into a program with Kofi Kingston and finally dethroning a very lackluster flop of a WWE champion in Kofi Kingston. And yes, I did not misspeak. He's a flop as a WWE champion. Not a disaster, a just flat pancake, pun intended, flop. That's what he is. Great athlete, great guy, nothing personally against him. He's just blah. Just, nothing there. Nothing. Nothing. I can't relate to him at all. Nothing. Okay. So I think that's what they do. I think that's what the first thing they go with. And so I'm looking forward to that as well. And so lots to look forward to, guys, especially with the NFL day. Again, Monday Night Football, Sunday Night Football is back. We have Austin on Raw. We have Undertaker on SmackDown. We have AEW starting weekly in about a month. We have NXT starting weekly in a week on Wednesdays on the USA Network. It's going to be awesome. So you guys got a lot of content coming your way. Again, go to WWEpodcast.com for all of your podcasts if you want, or articles that go up weekly. And check out Patreon.com/WWEpodcast because you'll be able to get a video feed of me very, very soon. I will announce it. It's not there yet, but you can head on over and get yourself all set up for $1 a month and also get yourself ad-free experiences. Completely ad-free. Every show is ad-free for just $1 a month, and video feeds will be coming to the Patreon feed as well. So I will announce that shortly, but also hit me up on Twitter at the WWE podcast. If you guys like the show, hate the show, want to see something different or added, you can also, by the way, I don't make this very public or very, well known, but you can send me questions at realwwepodcast@gmail.com. That's realwwepodcast@gmail.com. If you guys want me to answer questions here on the air, I mean, you can ask me anything, right? Ask me anything in WWE that you'd like. Even personal questions, I don't care. Just I did want to pass that option along to you. I know a lot of podcasts do Q&As, and I never really got into that because I never really offered it. But you can do that, or you can just send it to me on Twitter at the WWE Podcast in a DM. So that's also an option. Head on over to Apple Podcasts if you have a moment and just give me a 5-star rating if you think I deserve it, and a review. It really, really helps out the shows that that you guys all love to listen to and I love to produce. So, all right. Well, guys, I think that's it for this Sunday. I hope you enjoy the wrestling nostalgia and a little bit of a current events type deal. It seems to always morph into that. But you can catch me Tuesday for a Raw review that I'm sure I will be talking about. A SmackDown review will be coming on Wednesday. And then, of course, joining me on Thursday will be a co-host to discuss all of the things happening in WWE. So, guys, lots to look forward to. I hope you enjoy your night, evening, morning, afternoon, whatever it may be. And as always, I'll talk to you next time.